Thank you, Jesus.
You know, I was thinking to myself just a moment ago, back before God, it took a lot to get me out on the dance floor. But these are not drunk as ye suppose. I'm so grateful for this church. I can't imagine trying to be a Christian without a body of believers like this and a power of God that we experience on a regular basis. I don't know how you could do it with any less. And I don't want to find out. I'm just grateful. Grateful to be a part of this body. Grateful for every one of you because it's our aggregate commitment to God that makes this possible. It's not one person or one individual. It's all of us together. If you'd open your Bibles with me tonight. If you turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 1. Second Kings chapter 1 and starting in verse 10. And Elijah answered and said unto the captain of 50, if I be a man of God, then let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And there came down fire from heaven and consumed him and his 50. And again also he sent unto him another captain of 50 with his 50. And he answered and said unto him, O man of God, has the king said, come down quickly. And Elijah answered and said unto them, if I be a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and, thy 50. And fire came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. And he sent again a captain of the third 50 and with his 50. And the third captain of 50 went up and came and fell on his knees before Elijah and besought him and said unto him, O man of God, I pray thee, let my life and thy life of these 50 thy servants be precious in thy sight. Tonight, God wants to talk to each and every one of us individually about whose voice are we listening to? Because there's a lot of voices in this world. Some good, some bad. But if we can listen to that one voice, that still small, quiet voice, would you pray with me tonight? Jesus, we're so grateful to be a part of your kingdom, to know who you are, to have this word, your truth, that we can understand what you ask of us and all of the benefits and the promises and the privileges that come with being a child of the King. Tonight, God, I ask that your Spirit would speak to each and every one of us individually as your word goes forth. God, because it's a relationship that you want to develop with us. And tonight, I believe, God, you want to speak to us, not only from this pulpit, but to our hearts and our minds. It's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Can you say amen? And you may be seated. The portion of scripture we read in 2 Kings, to give you a little bit of context, you see, if we go back to the beginning of that chapter, it talks about that Moab, who was the son of Lot, rebelled against Israel after the death of King Ahab, and Ahijah, son of Ahab, fell down through a lattice upon it from his upper chamber when he was in Samaria because he was sick. And so as this sick, as Ahijah, sent messages unto them. It says in verse 2 that he sent them to go and inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, whether I shall recover of this disease. And so while all this was going on, Elijah the prophet hears from God. In verse 3 it says, but the angel of the Lord said unto Elijah the Tishbite, arise, go and meet the messengers of the king of Samaria. So while they were sent to go find some other prophets of the god of Beelzebub, God chose to intervene in their path and send a prophet, Elijah. And as he sent Elijah to arise and meet the messengers, when he met them, Elijah said unto them, is it not because there is not a god in Israel that you go to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord, thou shalt not come down from that bed on which thou art gone up, but thou shalt surely die. And Elijah departed. So the man of God heard from God, instructed him to go intercept these messengers who had been sent to go find somebody else's God to inquire of whether or not I was going to recover from this illness. And the message to this king that these messengers were given from Elijah was, why would you go to some other place? Is there not a God of Israel? Do you not know this God of Israel? Why would you go places elsewhere? Why would you listen to voices from some other place when you know there is a voice that has the words of life? And so as they brought this message back to the king, who was sick in bed, they told the king about this message, and they played it back to him verbatim, as the man of God had spoken to them. And the king inquired and said, well, who was this man that came to meet with you? And he told them in verse 8, these messengers said, and they answered him, he was a hairy man, and girt with a girdle of leather about his loins, and he said it was Elijah the Tishbite. And so then the king sends his 50 men, or his captain of 50 with his 50, and the captain went up to him and on top of the hill where Elijah sat, and he spoke to him in verse 9 and says, thou man of God, the king has said, come down. And then we hear where we just read, Elijah said, if I be a man of God, let fire come down and consume thee. And it did. And then the king sent out another 50. And he again, the captain said, come down quickly this time. And Elijah said, if I be a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume thee. And so then we get to this third group, the captain of the 50, who, having seen the miraculous and heard of the miraculous of God, said, didn't give any instructions to the man of God, didn't say, you must come, the king is asking for you. He simply said, have mercy on me. Amen. O man of God, I pray, let my life and the life of these servants be precious in thy sight. And so as I was reading this portion of scripture, I started to ask myself, you know, what kind of man says to an army of soldiers, if I be a man of God, let fire come down from heaven? I mean, that's kind of an audacious statement to make. Was it his faith? Did he have just great faith that said, if I say, have fire come down, fire will come down? I don't think of all the benefits and the promises of God that he's promised us fire upon command. So as I was asking myself this question, almost as quickly as I was asking it to myself, God started to answer it. If you look at verse 15 with me, and the angel of the Lord said unto Elijah, this is after that third captain comes to him, and the angel of the Lord said unto Elijah, go down with him, be not afraid of him. And Elijah rose and went down with him unto the king. And so while the scriptures capture in verse 15, God giving him that next set of instructions, do you think Elijah called down fire because he thought it was a good idea or because God had spoken the words to him, given him the instructions? Was he not just delivering the mail once again like he had when he was first asked to go intercept those messengers? You know, it's interesting to see the tone of the captains, how it changed after that demonstration of the power of God occurred. First one said, just come down, just ordering him. The second one said, come down quickly. Like, we need to get out of here before the fire comes down again. And the last one said, just don't hurt me. You know, this morning, God spoke to us about letting him take the lead. And I think this principle, as we just read around these captains, could apply here, that we somehow have to not be directing or giving orders. We really need to approach God with that. Just have mercy on me, God. Have you ever wondered, is that really God that I'm hearing? I mean, there's a lot of voices in this world, and the one that speaks the loudest usually comes from ourselves, this flesh. So I can just imagine Elijah there getting the word of God saying, and he's thinking to himself, really, God, fire? Are you sure that's what you want? Wait, can you give me a sign that is indeed what I'm supposed to say? You know, like, let the dove fly across the tree at a 90-degree angle, headed to the east, and then I'll know that's what I'm supposed to say. So it wasn't just simply great faith that Elijah had that he was able to will it It was faith in the instructions that he had become acquainted with, the voice of God that he understood, and the obedience that he had experienced from hearing the voice of God was faith in that whatever God spoke, that's what needed to happen. Amen. Church, God wants to talk to each and every one of us individually. He wants to be able to prompt us with that still, quiet, small voice. And as we are given those opportunities, as we hear God speak to us as individuals, if we'll simply follow those instructions, then we too will see the power of God come down like fire. And as we see that God affirm those instructions, we'll then have faith to listen and obey that much better. And it's a virtuous cycle. As we listen and obey, we get better at listening and obeying. And it feeds itself, and now God can use us to greater and greater extents. I don't think that was the first time Elijah had heard from God. He didn't start with the fire down from heaven. It started a long time ago, but by this time, God and Elijah were so close, God could give him those instructions, and he did it. Amen. The challenge we all face is this flesh. But there's a process that goes on as we mature. We get better at listening. You know, I think I've gotten better at listening just in the natural. When we're young, we tend to just do things, and even when we hear correction and instruction, we tend to do things again and again and again. But eventually, we get better, hopefully. We learn to listen. We learn that there's other people that actually have some insights that we can benefit. And just talking in the natural, right? It's true in the spiritual. As we learn to listen, we get better at listening. You know, the gifts of the Spirit are operation in this church, and it's a supernatural thing. It's a powerful thing, and we experience it over and over again. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 14. As we think about hearing the voice of God, surely those that are allowing themselves to be used by God and the gifts of the Spirit are hearing or being given instruction from God. And so there's some principles that we can learn about every one of us learning to listen as we think about the gifts of the Spirit. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, in verse 26, it says, "How is it then, brethren, when ye come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two or at the most three, and that by course, and let one interpret." You know, God is willing and able to speak through every one of us through the gifts. If you have the Spirit of God, you have the equipment necessary for God to use you in that function. And we just read in verse 26 that, "How is it, brethren, that every one of you, when you come together, hath a revelation, hath a tongue, hath an interpretation?" Not an exclusive group, not just those that have this special gift. But you realize, and I think we do, many of you understand this, that many of the same saints in this church are used frequently by God. But really, because they've learned to listen. They're able to listen, and as they obey, they are willing to step out in faith. And as they step out in faith and see God, the supernatural manifests itself, it feeds the cycle, and they're ready to listen and step out in faith and let God use them. And so it's really not an exclusive club. It's simply those who have been practicing their listening. Amen. And we're all in the process of becoming better listeners. And we're all in the process of becoming more obedient to that voice. And I think as long as we're in this flesh, we'll continue to be in the process of becoming better listeners and more obedient. I don't know that I'll ever, and any of us can ever get to the place where we just have it all figured out, that we can hear God in every instance. But I do believe we can get better. It says in that same portion of scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, starting in verse 32, that, "And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets." It's up to you whether or not you want to extend yourself. Amen. We all have that spirit if you have the Holy Ghost, but it's a choice It's subject unto you as to whether or not you want to make yourself available. And it goes on to say in verse 33, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. You know, it can get a little confusing sometimes as we're trying to decipher what is the voice of God versus what is not the voice of God. Amen. But God is not the author of confusion. Amen. And so as we're maturing, as we're trying to learn to listen better, and if we feel confused at any point in time, right away that's an indication that God's not the author of confusion. But there's a lot of voices out there inside of us and outside of us that are confusing at times. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 10. Well, actually, you're already there. Just look up at verse 10. It says, there are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification, that word being of consequence. So there's many voices in the world, and none of them is without consequence. But some consequences are good, and some consequences are not so good. And those voices, they're looking to influence you, good or bad. And so we do have to learn to listen, to be able to decipher the difference, because there are many voices. Again, the voice that's most frequent and most loud is our own, this flesh, wanting to control and steer and direct. But outside of us, there are voices outside in this world that would love to get our attention, love to give direction, love to, like we read in the portion of Scripture, answer the question of the king, am I going to live or die, as he goes out to seek voices that are outside the kingdom. If we go on and read in chapter 14, verse 11, and while this is really in speaking to the gifts of the Spirit and operation in the church and tongues and interpretation and prophecy, the principles still can be applied to us as individuals. It says in verse 11 of 1 Corinthians 14, therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. Even so ye, forasmuch as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. And skipping down to verse 20, brethren, be not children in understanding. Howbeit in malice ye be children, but in understanding be men, or mature. Church, we have to mature. We should expect to grow. In fact, that's one of the best barometers of are we doing okay? Are we growing or are we not growing? We should always be growing, not always at the same pace, not always at the same levels, and certainly not always or ever equal to anyone else, because we're all on these individual paths with God. Amen. And they all started at different times, and they all have gone up and down in different ways, but they're all going in the same direction. Amen. And so are you growing? You should be, according to verse 20. Don't be children in understanding. We should grow in our understanding of God and our understanding of his voice and those spiritual gifts and seek them that we may excel. But to the edifying, as we're starting to decipher, is it the voice of God or is it some other voice? If it's not somehow edifying, like the gifts of the Spirit and operation of the church, if they don't edify, then it's not God. The gifts of the Spirit are for the edifying of the church. If there isn't edification, if we aren't adding to, if we aren't giving back, if it's not building up, that's an indication that it's not the voice of God. And every one of us that have the Spirit of God in our spirit, we can feel the difference between God and not God when we hear those voices. God is not the author of confusion. But even as much as we can feel it in our spirit, sometimes our natural eyes want to get in the way. And we can look at that in church as messages are brought in tongues interpretation, we want to see, well, who was that? But that shouldn't be our approach at all. Our spirit, our heart should be able to interpret, was that God or was that not God? Because as soon as we engage our eyes and our mind, now all of a sudden the flesh is trying to decide, well, is that person right? And that shouldn't be. Because every one of us, if you have the gift of the Holy Ghost, are qualified to be used of God. It's simply a matter, are we willing to listen and obey? So just to recap so far, as we think about the gifts of the Spirit, as we apply them to God speaking to us individually, these principles can apply. The voice of God won't leave us confused. The voice of God will edify. Amen. And we should grow in our ability to hear the voice of God as we mature as Christians. So there's a learning process. And we're going to be in that learning process for as long as we're in this earth, in this flesh. If we stop learning, that's another indication that something might not be right in our lives. You know, the Bible talks about the learning process of Elijah, some events that occurred before he listened to God's prompting and said, if I be a man of God, fire come down on you. Turn with me to 1 Kings 19 as we can read a little bit about Elijah's learning process. 1 Kings chapter 19, starting in verse 9. So we know the story of Elijah, and this is after he did battle with the prophets of Baal, and fire came down and consumed the altar that was covered with water. And after a great victory, after a powerful move of God, right, he's hiding in the caves. We've heard this message many times, how we can have these great experiences on Sunday and find ourselves Monday in the cave still hiding out, having just walked away from heavenly places. And so we're no different, right? We're all made of the same stuff. Elijah was made of the same stuff as we are. And so this flesh somehow got in the way of what God was doing in his life, and he had to still go through the learning process, like we have to go through the learning process to be able to listen to the voice of God in our lives. And so in 1 Kings 19 and 9, it says, "And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there, and beheld, the word of the Lord came to him and said unto him, What dost thou here, Elijah? And he said, I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thy altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I, only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice." You know, sometimes we can be sitting around waiting for God to do something so he gets our attention, like calling fire down from heaven, and all he's waiting for is us to listen so that he can do something. In that still small voice. You could be sitting here tonight in this service saying to yourself, well, when is God going to perform the miraculous? When are we going to see those healings? When are we going to see these pews filled with people? And God's saying, when are they going to just stop and listen? You see, I'd hate to actually see my own scorecard. How many times has God spoken to me and said, do this or do that? Talk to that person or reach that person. And I didn't follow through. How many times has God prompted one of us to be used in the gifts of the Spirit and we simply pass it by for one of those better listeners who picks up and says, I'm here, God. I'd hate to see my own scorecard. I have a feeling I've missed the mark more times than I've gotten it right, but I'm still learning to listen. And every time I listen and follow through, I see God build faith in me to be a better listener. You may be asking yourself right now, why don't I hear the voice of God? Or maybe you're asking yourself, have I ever heard the voice of God? Or maybe you're saying to yourself, I want to hear the voice of God. Well, tonight, through the word of God, Jesus wants to answer those questions with yes, yes, and yes. God has been ready and waiting for us just to listen so that he can speak in that still small voice. But just like Elijah, there's a process we have to go through, and so it is for every one of us. You might ask yourself, well, is it important for me to hear the voice of God? Turn with me to John chapter 10. The Bible says that it is important. In John chapter 10, verse 26. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. And so this is Jesus speaking. In verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. And so is it important to hear the voice of God? It's certainly a protection that no man can pluck us out of the hand of God if we're able to listen, if we learn to listen. Because my sheep know my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So it's not just listening, it's actually listening and doing something. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, you don't have to turn there, says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come unto him and sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Apostolic Faith Church, he who hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit say unto us. The voice of God in our lives starts at the very beginning when we open up the door to God. We liken that scripture often to the salvation process as God knocked on every one of our doors and we made ourselves open to God. And as we learned the word of God and the instructions of God and applied them to our lives and found ourselves at an altar in repentance and were baptized in his name for the remission of sins and were filled with the Holy Ghost. But really, that process doesn't stop there. We just have to continually open the door, continually listen for that knocking, waiting for an opportunity to hear his voice so that he will sup with us and we with him. You know, it's no different than those new things that we experienced when we first came in. Think about when you first came into the church and you found yourself crying and you had no idea why. And then the first time you felt like you needed to raise your hand to worship him, and you'd never done that before. Then the time you felt like you needed to go to the altar, and it was the very first time you had done that. Or maybe it was the first time you danced. Whatever that first time was, it was all part of a learning process. Amen. So if we're still learning, and we haven't learned to listen for that voice, it's just the next thing. Just like the other things were the next things. And so we're always learning to listen. You know, there's a term that's used by management and to tell new employees that, we have an open door policy. And that term means that no matter what, if the door is open, you know, regardless of whether I'm the director or who vice president or whomever, you know, you have access to come in and talk to me. If you have an issue, if you have a need, we have an open door policy. Have you ever tried to talk to somebody behind a closed heavy door? It doesn't work so well. There's a reason the door has to be open to have that kind of two-way communication. I mean, I remember when God started to knock at my door, I didn't understand what was going on, but I knew something was going on. And I didn't recognize that God was trying to speak to me, but nonetheless, God was speaking to my heart, and I could feel that knocking. I could feel the pull of him, and that was just the beginning, right? And ever since, I've been learning to listen. Amen. You know, this individual communication channel is just one of many channels that God uses, especially early in our walk with God. You know, God speaks to us through the reading of his word. We've got a written version of him talking to us. And so if you're ever wondering or struggling to hear the voice of God, simply open up your Bibles. In fact, why don't you open up your Bibles right now and turn to Revelation chapter 8. I apologize. Chapter 1, verse 8. Revelation chapter 1, verse 8. We're going to read this aloud because I want you to hear God speaking to you right now. Revelation chapter 1, verse 8. If you'll read it with me out loud. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Church, you just heard from God. Now, as you just heard from God and you said it out loud, what did it sound like? It sounded like you, right? So if you've been filled with the Holy Ghost and God is speaking through as you're praying in tongues, who's doing the speaking? And what does it sound like? You know what? Let's try it right now. If you have the Holy Ghost, can we just take a minute real quickly and just pray in tongues for a minute and let God speak through us? And if you don't have the Holy Ghost, feel free to just worship with whatever words that you'd like. Thank you, Jesus. Ho ma shoto babata dalama shokoro lo mata dalama toko ba. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So as the Spirit of God just spoke through you, whose voice did you hear? Your voice. And so the challenge is, as we start to listen for the voice of God speaking to us individually, is it sounds like our voice too. It sounds like our voice when we read his word. It sounds like our voice when we let him speak through us. And when you hear that still small voice in your head, you know what it sounds like? Your voice. Because God uses you all the time to speak. And so it gets confusing though, right? Because it would be so much easier if his voice sounded like it was had a Jewish accent or something. Like if there was some other version that comes up and speaks to us, it would be so much easier. Then I could tell for sure that that's God and that's me, and now I know which one to listen to. But he didn't choose to do that with the word, and he didn't choose to do that with the Spirit speaking through you. So guess what? It sounds like you when he speaks to you too. In that still small voice, because he's put the Spirit in you. So what other voice would he be using? It'd be kind of weird if Brother Mundy's voice started speaking to me and giving me direction inside of my own head, right? And if you do hear Brother Mundy's voice, know that it's not God. I mean, no offense, Brother Mundy, I love you. So God uses all of these channels through us because he's invested his Spirit in us. And so there's some principles, though, that we can apply as we're still trying to decipher what is God versus what isn't God, because it sounds a lot the same sometimes, especially when it's us. So to be clear, you know, that the voice of God doesn't override the word of God in our lives, that individual voice. So one of the measures that you can apply anytime that you are seeking the voice of God or listening for the voice of God in your own life individually is, as you hear that voice speak, does it line up with the word of God? If it lines up with the word of God, that's a green light. Anytime it doesn't line up with the word of God, you can discount that right away as that's some other voice. And in fact, the word of God is such a sure thing that the preaching has to also line up with the word of God. Amen. And so as the preaching goes forth, too, that is a measure of, is it the word of God or not? Does it line up with the word of God as it goes forth from the pulpit? So whether you're hearing it individually or hearing it from the pulpit, the word of God is always the measure there. You know, as a voice, as God speaks to us as individuals, it's not about getting some new revelation from God. It's really just about a relationship. Amen. You know, I've heard, and I can imagine as we people experience the supernatural, like we experience on a regular basis, it's easy to get the idea that you know, there's some revelation that God has given us that everyone else needs to know, and somehow we're the vehicle that God needs to use to do it. Well, if it's not in his word, I'd be really careful about sharing that revelation from God. Because really, if God's talking to you, it's really about you. Amen. Individually. Amen. You know, another measure of is it the voice of God or not is the word of God says that we're to submit to all authority. And so with the pastor being our authority and our submission to that authority, God can't break his own word. And so he would never give us instructions that would go against those instructions that our pastor has given us. And so another measure that you can apply to that, is this the voice of God or not, is does it line up with the directions and the instructions and the protection that my pastor has given me? If it doesn't, then you know it's not the voice of God. Amen. God can't break his own promises, his own word. Amen. And so he's not the author of confusion. God isn't going to put you in a state of tizzy with those instructions and those directions, whatever those are. And again, is it to the edifying? Is it to the building up? These are all measures that we learn to apply as we listen for that voice of God. And as we apply them, and then we step out in faith, and then we see the power of God come as a result of that, we learn that voice and that difference, and then we do it all over again. And we get better, and we get better at listening, and we get better at obeying. And it becomes clearer and clearer what is and what isn't the voice of God. But we'll always have to be careful in everything. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. Genesis chapter 3, we have an example of a very close communication between mankind and God. And the thing that will always get in the way of that communication is this flesh. And when this flesh falls into sin, be careful what voices you listen to. And so in Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, it says, "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." So as we open ourselves up to God and we start to have this relationship, this two-way communication, you know, this flesh is still just flesh, and anytime this flesh falls into sin, sin has a way of getting in the way of everything good about God and our ability to communicate with God. But at the same time, so many people lose out with God as they start to listen to that voice, which they think is God, as they're in that condition, having sin in their life. And let me tell you, that is the wrong voice. Anytime we fall into sin, we're cutting ourselves off from having that clear connection with God. And so if we're hearing what we think is direction from God and we know there's things in our lives that aren't right, be careful what voices we're listening to. Amen. So another measure that we can apply as we mature, as we grow, as we get better at listening is, where are we at? I mean, we know where we're at individually. And if we're in a place where some things need to still be straightened out, be careful what voices we listen to that come from ourselves. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 3 and starting in verse 6. You know, as we talk about all these different principles that we can apply as we're trying to listen for and follow the leading of God, it can be a little bit kind of unnerving. Like, I don't want to make a mistake, or is that, or isn't it? And it's just like we could almost like put ourselves in a tizzy trying to figure out what is good and what isn't God. And there's all these voices, and right? And it could be kind of unnerving. But God's not the author of confusion. And if we read in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 6, "But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of our hope firm to the end, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness." Going down to verse 15, "While it is said, today if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in provocation." So, one of the ingredients to be having that clear communication, having that ability to listen, is to be in constant communication. Amen. If we'll simply take time out of every day to communicate to God, let me tell you, it'll be a whole lot easier to hear his voice when he wants to give us those directions. Turn with me to Acts chapter 10, starting in verse 9. This last principle I want to share with you is the one that I probably hang on to or reference personally most often, applying all of the other principles that we've talked about. And so as we read in Hebrews, or I'm sorry, in Acts chapter 10, verse 9. So this is Peter, and it's this exchange, and many of you are familiar with this exchange between Peter and God, as God is showing him that he can now, in this new covenant, eat those things that were previously forbidden to eat by the law. Of course, Peter, being really smart, says, no, Lord, I know better. I'm not going to do those things. And so this is very, right, we can probably put ourselves all in one of these situations where God is trying to give us some direction. We're saying, no, Lord, I don't do that, or no, Lord, I'm afraid, or no, Lord, whatever it is. And so I love this principle because I've seen God use it over and over with me pretty effectively to help me decipher what is and what isn't God speaking. And so in Acts chapter 10, verse 9, it says, on the morrow, as they went on their journey, they drew nigh to the cedar city. Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour, and he became very hungry, and he would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance. So here's a subtle hint right now. If you want to hear the voice of God, chances are you should be in prayer. Time with God equals hearing God. And by the way, it says he was hungry, so he might have been fasting for some time prior while he was praying. And so fasting is another tool that we can use to put this flesh down. But the principle is really what comes next that I was alluding to. And if we go on to read, it says, and he saw heaven opened and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of the four-footed beasts of the earth and the wild beasts and the creeping things and the fowls of the air. And so these are all the things that they previously under the law weren't able to eat. And there came a voice unto him that said, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is uncommon or unclean. And the voice said unto him again a second time, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. So that last portion of Scripture, this was done thrice, you'll find in a couple different portions of Scripture where God will repeat himself. So another measure that you can apply as we seek to be better listeners and better to obey to those directions and those promises, you know, did God bring that thought back to me again and then again and again? Chances are God might be trying to get your attention. So this pattern of three is another way to consider, is this really God trying to give me that direction? You know, I shared a little while ago, I don't even know what I was doing, but God put this old coworker on my heart named Chris, who I hadn't talked to in a couple years. And another day went by, and as I was driving, all of a sudden, I had this thought again, like I hadn't thought of this guy for a couple years. And the next day, all of a sudden, I had this thought again, and I was like, I should probably call this guy. Is that what you're trying to say, God? So I called this guy, and I said, hey, we should get together for lunch. He's like, that would be great. And as we got together for lunch, we were just conversating and kind of catching up on people that I used to know and my old employer. He said, you know, how's that church thing going? Open door. Church, I believe if we'll just listen, we won't have to slam the door open. We won't have to break people down. We won't have to set up circumstances. We won't have to maneuver a way to get in. We just simply have to listen. And as we listen, if we'll follow, it'll all work out, and he'll just set up those things one by one. Amen. So even as Peter was in deep prayer, he heard the voice of God. He still doubted, was this really the voice of God? Was it really telling me I should rise, kill, and eat? So it says, if we go on and read that same portion of scripture now, while Peter doubted in himself, so clearly he doubted what he had heard from God, what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made an inquiry for Simon's house and stood before a gate and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, was lodged there. And while Peter yet thought on this, on the vision, so he's sitting there thinking, was that God or was that not God? Was that God or was that not God? Was that God or was that not God? As he's kind of asking himself, is this real or not? It goes on to say, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek you. Arise, therefore, and get down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men which were set unto him from Cornelius and said, behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause, for where hath he come? And they said, Cornelius, a centurion, a just man, and one that feareth God, and of a good report among all the nation of Jews, was warned from God by a holy angel to send unto thee into this house and to hear the words of thee. God will confirm his word as we start to open ourselves up to be better listeners. And as he confirms his word, as we sit there and wonder, well, was it or not, or was it, and we kind of step out in faith, he's going to confirm his word and reaffirm to give us the faith to be able to listen and be better listeners so we can obey the next time and put us in a position to do greater and greater works. And so it's not uncommon for us to doubt, was that or was that not God? But as we start to apply the principles that we read in the Bible, as we mature and become better listeners, we will get better at it. And over time, we'll grow confidence, having faith, knowing that God is going to not only give us direction, but fulfill and do the miraculous and even call down fire as he gives those directions. Amen. Tonight, if you'd stand with me, you know, I love this church so much, and I think one of the things that allows us to experience the power and the manifestation of God is that we're conscientious of the leading of God's Spirit, even in a service like this. You know, there's probably not many churches, and I don't even know if you realize this, that most probably have some list of songs that are the songs for today that were pre-chosen, pre-selected on the list, and it's handed to the guy who plays the piano or gal, and they sing those songs, and that's what's going to happen. But if you're a musician at this church, you have the honor of being able to play them all, because whatever one is the one that God leads us to is the next one on the list. So it takes an extra big commitment to be ready to play any song in that book. But so it is true for us in our walk with God. If we're going to be ready and willing, it's going to take extra commitment. And as we make that commitment, as we make ourselves available, we can play whatever song God wants that's next in line. And as we do that, we're able to just move in the Spirit. And that's just one example. Church, I believe that we're at a place in time that God is wanting to demonstrate himself in ways that we can't even imagine. But he can't do it unless we listen. Amen. You know, I was talking to a saint at lunch today, and we were talking about how Peter, as the apostles, Peter, I think it was Peter and Paul, as they came across the man who was laying at the gate, who was lame, and they said, silver and gold have I none, but as I have, rise. And I was wondering to myself as we were talking about that, was that because of their great faith, or were they simply just good listeners? Church, I want to be in a place where if God says go, I can go. If God says wait, I'll wait. If God says be patient, all right, God, you're in charge. Because when I do that, he will point them out, I believe. we won't have to wonder, am I supposed to reach out to that person? He'll say, no, that one. You could waste your time on a ton of other people, but that's the one I've chosen. Amen. And as we're obedient, he's going to confirm his words. He's going to demonstrate himself and equip us to be better listeners. I love this church, and I love our ability to just to follow the leading of the Spirit. But there's no end to this process, right? There's no end to having arrived. Whatever we have to do, whatever price we have to pay, we have to find a way to put this flesh down. To get it out of the way, that God would be able to flow through us and flow through this body in a way and fulfill his will. I don't know that there's ever a time that God isn't trying to speak something. Pastor, would you come?
Thank you, Brother Portman. I just want to say one thing. My wife and I were, I think, the last ones out of the sanctuary this morning. I talked to Brother and Sister Schlager and some other people and I was in a rush to get out of here. So we talked to a number of people. But before service, I'm the king of snobs. And I'll walk back and forth. I won't go greet anybody. I take time to shake hands with a few. But my full concentration is trying to hear the voice of God before the service, because it's imperative that I get the mind of God for each service. What if, when we walk in here, instead of greeting our friends and having conversation, and please, this is not a rebuke, I'm just saying, what if everybody tried to get the mind of God before service? How many would be put in a position of being used in the gifts of the Spirit, or God moving in this place in even greater capacity? We have plenty of time after service to fellowship and talk to one another, but our main reason for coming here is to communicate with God. And we will be so fulfilled when we hear the voice of God rather than the voice of somebody who is friendly and we see all of the time. I really appreciate this message, because if we really don't become sensitive to what God is saying, I don't know how we can really minister without that knowing my sheep know my voice. Amen. Glory to God. The altar's open. Would you come?